Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Turkey, and specifically Turkey's defence systems and their relationship with Russia and the USA and the rest of NATO. And the reason I want to discuss this today is that it's now come to light that there's been a potential deal struck between the USA and Turkey to persuade Turkey to agree to let Finland and Sweden join NATO. So in this episode, we'll go through exactly what's been happening with regards to Turkey and the USA, their relationship. You may not be aware, but the USA actually imposed sanctions against Turkey back in 2020. So we'll go through the details of what's been going on there, why the USA decided to sanction Turkey, and what Turkey's been doing with regards to defence purchases from Russia. So we'll go through all of that. We'll then talk about the F-35 and F-16 fighter jet programmes, which Turkey has been involved with. So we'll tell you exactly what's been going on there, and what the latest updates are. I'll then recap on what the situation is with regards to Finland and Sweden joining NATO, Turkey's objection to that, Turkey's subsequent announcement that they're withdrawing their veto, and I'll then talk about the rumours as to why that agreement has been tabled. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is going on here and what the implications are for the global economy going forward. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so you can skip through stuff if you're not that interested in it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find YouTube's membership and super thanks, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Turkey has been a member of NATO since 1952. And NATO, at its heart, is a security and defence organisation. It's an alliance of 30 different countries. And the concept is that if you come under attack or you're invaded by another country, then the other members of NATO will come out and support you. So it's a collective security agreement. And as part of this arrangement, it's quite common when one country is developing a particular type of aircraft or tank or some other form of military vehicle, that it will offer the opportunity for other countries to be involved in both the investment and the production. So you get to share in the manufacturing process, and also you'd be expected to place some orders. So it becomes a collaborative exercise of creating state-of-the-art equipment. The F-35 is a US-designed fighter jet that was developed as part of the Joint Strike Fighter, the JSF program, to replace an aging fleet of mission-dedicated airframes. The F-35 program was started in the 1990s and was a collaboration between the US, the UK, Canada, the Netherlands, Italy, Denmark, Norway, Australia, and Turkey. And one of the benefits of being a member of NATO is that it allows all of the allied nations to use a common weapons system, promote operational familiarity during coalition partner training and combat, and reduces the cost, time, training, manning, and research and development of integrating airframes of those allied nations. Now, these development and build programs run for a very long period of time. And although the concept was first developed in the 1990s, the first F-35 jet never actually flew until 2006 and only entered combat service around the world in 2015. As part of its involvement in the F-35 program, Turkey was provided with a variety of contracts to produce certain components and parts. Long-term supply agreements were put in place with Turkish companies such as Turkish Aerospace Industries, Rokosan and Tussas Engine Industries, amongst others. In addition to this, Turkish pilots were also trained at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona, and Turkish maintenance companies were also involved in operations at Elgin Air Force Base in Florida. From Turkey's perspective, it's reported that they invested around $1.4 billion into the program and placed an order for 100 F-35 jets. In 2019, it was reported that Turkey was in discussions with Russia to buy its S-400 missile systems. As soon as this news was announced, the US raised serious concerns. They didn't want Russian intelligence being located close to the manufacturing of the components for the F-35 fighter jets. They saw that as a security breach and was potential intelligence that could be used against NATO going forward. The Russian S-400 system is the successor to the previous S-200 and S-300 missile systems. And the reason that Turkey was looking to buy this system over the US system's comparable version was that it was capable of engaging in a wider range of targets at longer ranges and against multiple threats simultaneously. So there were a number of operational benefits to the system for Turkey. The discussions about Turkey buying the S-400 had been going on for a number of years, and in 2013 and 2017, the US had offered to sell Raytheon's Patriot missile system. However, Turkey refused on both occasions due to the fact that the US had declined to provide a transfer of the system's sensitive missile technology. Despite repeatedly being told of the consequences, in July 2019, Turkey accepted delivery of the Russian-made S-400 mobile surface-to-air missile system in a deal that was reportedly worth $2.5 billion to Russia. As a direct result of this, the White House announced that Turkey's decision to make this purchase rendered its continued involvement in the F-35 program impossible. The F-35 cannot coexist with a Russian intelligence collection platform that will be used to learn about its advanced capabilities. They also added that there would potentially be detrimental impacts on Turkey's participation in NATO. In December 2020, the Trump administration imposed sanctions on Turkey relating directly to the purchase of the S-400 missile system. The Secretary of State announced that Turkey is a valued ally and an important regional security partner for the United States, and we seek to continue our decades-long history of productive defensive sector cooperation by removing the obstacle of Turkey's S-400 possession as soon as possible. The sanctions put a ban on all US export licenses and authorizations to the Republic of Turkey's Presidency of Defense Industries, as well as an asset freeze and visa restrictions on the organization's president and other top officers. The timing of the sanctions, which were delivered more than a year after the delivery of the missile system, were interesting because they came just weeks before Joe Biden took up the role of president. The sanctions also came into effect 2 months after it was reported that Turkey had been testing the S-400 system. At the time, a Pentagon spokesman raised concerns about Turkey bringing the system into operation, saying that it should not be activated and that doing so risked serious consequences for the security relationship between Turkey and NATO. Defending the sanctions, a governmental spokesman stated that we have repeatedly tried through diplomatic overtures to find a way to resolve this by means that don't involve the imposition of these mandatory sanctions. We've also repeatedly offered Turkey military equipment to help meet their operational needs in a way that doesn't trigger sanctions, and that is, in fact, a better answer in terms of the NATO interoperability of the Turkish Defence Forces. Unfortunately, Turkey turned down every single one of these efforts over the past several years now, and we therefore had no choice. Following the events in Ukraine, Finland and Sweden submitted a formal application to join NATO on the 18th of May 2022. Now, as we've discussed before, NATO is a collection of 30 countries, and all 30 countries have to vote unanimously to approve the election of any new entrants. 29 of the countries confirmed that they were happy with the application. However, President Erdogan of Turkey raised an objection immediately and claimed that both Sweden and Finland were harboring terrorists that were involved in the coup against his authority in 2016. It was reported that Turkey had made numerous extradition attempts to try to get these individuals repatriated to Turkey, and that these applications had been completely ignored by Sweden and Finland. And Turkey also raised the fact that Sweden and Finland were refusing to sell arms to it. Sweden and Finland confirmed that they were open to these ideas. And after 4 hours of talks in Madrid, President Erdogan and his Finnish and Swedish counterparts agreed on a series of security measures to allow the two Nordic countries to overcome Turkey's veto. According to the signed memorandum, Finland and Sweden have pledged not to support the Kurdish militant PKK and YPG groups, or the network of US-based individuals which Turkey says staged the 2016 coup attempt and which it labels a terrorist organization with the acronym FETÖ. President Erdogan has now increased the number of individuals that he would like extradited to 73. However, the signed memorandum does not list any of their names. Sweden's prime minister has responded by stating that any extradition will need to follow local and international laws, and that the process would depend upon what information was received from Turkey. In direct response to this, President Erdogan has stated that both countries need to keep their promises that they've made to Turkey, and if they don't, then the veto would be reinstated and the proposal would not be sent to the Turkish parliament for approval. Now, one really interesting point to note here is that the official ratification in allied parliaments for Sweden and Finland's application to be approved is likely to take up to a year. So theoretically, neither country are currently covered by NATO's collective defence clause, and therefore would still be vulnerable to attack from Russia if that was to happen over the next 12 months. Due to the fact that Turkey is a member of NATO and has a long-standing relationship with the Allied countries, it has an existing fleet of F-16 fighter jets made by Lockheed Martin from the USA. In October 2021, Turkey advised the USA that it wanted to buy an additional 40 F-16 fighter jets, and also it wanted to modernize 80 of its existing fleet. And the total size of this deal for the USA was estimated to be around $6 billion. Following the announcement of this deal, members of the US Congress sent a letter to the Department of State objecting. This letter stated that one of the reasons Congress insisted on rejecting Turkey from the F-35 program was the significant dangers associated with the S-400 and F-35 merger. Experts have noted that the upgrade of the existing F-16 fleet poses similar risks if Turkey continues to own Russian S-400s. Given that upgraded F-16s continue to play an important role for both us and our credible allies, this is a risk that we find unacceptable. The letter went on to talk about the indifference showed by Turkey in response to the US sanctions. Less than a year after the sanctions were imposed, the Turkish government has made it clear that it has no intention of complying with US law or addressing the underlying circumstances that led to Turkey's expulsion from the F-35 program. So as a direct result of this action, the deal was put on ice and no jets were sent to Turkey. However, 2 days after it was announced that Turkey was lifting its veto on the application from Finland and Sweden to join NATO, President Biden announced that he was supportive of the sale of the F-16 fighter jets to Turkey and that he was confident that congressional approval needed for the sale would be obtained. In reference to the timing of this announcement, President Biden stated, "I said back in December, as you'll recall, we should sell the F-16 jets and modernize those jets as well. It's not in our interest not to do that. And there was no quid pro quo with that. It was just that we should sell, but I need congressional approval to be able to do that, and I think I can get it." So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video as a follow-up to some of the videos that I posted recently talking about Turkey's objection to Finland and Sweden joining NATO. And in those videos, we'd focused in on the fact that President Erdogan had identified certain individuals that he wanted to extradite back to Turkey, and also he was claiming that Finland and Sweden were blocking the sale of arms. And it all seemed a little bit too thin in terms of a rationale for Turkey to come out and actually state that they were going to block this application just because of those grounds. And at the time, I talked about it being just posturing and maybe President Erdogan just wanted to do this as a point of principle. However, in light of the information that we've just discussed, it seems to me that there was a bigger agenda at play here. Clearly, Turkey has been looking to get its fleet of existing fighter jets upgraded for some time, and also to add more armory. So they made an application to the US to buy 40 new F-16s and 100 F-35s. Now, what happened with regards to the F-35 program wasn't great news for them. So not only did they get dropped from the program and lose all of the manufacturing business, so there was an economic implication for them, they also were unable to then buy those 100 new fighter jets. And even though Turkey had bought some missile systems, it really would be a bridge too far for them to actually buy fighter jets directly from Russia. So they didn't really have anywhere else to go. There isn't really a big market for fighter jets. You can't pop down to the fighter jet supermarket and buy the latest model. You really have to be in the long-term programs. And so not being able to buy those 100 F-35s was a big setback for Turkey. And clearly President Erdogan has had an agenda here, and he's wanted to find some way of getting these sanctions lifted. And it's very convenient that this application came along from the two Nordic countries to join NATO, and he put his hand up and objected. And it seems to be extremely coincidental timing that as soon as he's agreed to lift that veto and to allow both of those countries to proceed with their application to NATO, all of a sudden the USA have come out and said, "By the way, we're absolutely fine now with this concept of giving you more fighter jets and upgrading your existing fleet." So it all does seem a little bit too coincidental to me. And I think realistically, what we're looking at here is a package deal that's been agreed behind closed doors. We won't ever find out the actual details on any of this, but it is very coincidental that all of these things have come within a short space of time. So I wanted to post this story because one of the objectives in these videos is to try and join up the dots globally so that you can see that what happens in individual countries actually does have consequences elsewhere, and there is an overriding plan. And you can see here that even though Sweden and Finland's application to join NATO has absolutely nothing to do with the F-16 and F-35 fighter jet programs, because Turkey was sitting in the middle and they were subject to the sanctions that had been applied by the USA, this presented an opportunity for Turkey to be able to get back on the procurement list and buy those jets by lifting the veto against that application. So hopefully you can see how the building blocks all fit together in terms of this global economy that I keep talking about. Now, in terms of the importance and the implications for the global economy, I think what this action shows is that Turkey still sees itself as a member of NATO. It's not looking to get into bed with Russia. It's not looking to buy fighter jets from Russia. It wanted to improve its broken relationship with the USA. And I think overall that's a positive sign, because Turkey remaining part of NATO means that there's more likelihood of peace. If Turkey was to defect and join Russia alongside some of the other countries who are talking to Russia about economic and strategic alliances, then we would see more of a split. And because geographically Turkey is sitting in Europe, it would cause major problems. So far, the only country that's aligned with Russia in the European area is Belarus. And there's no other countries at the moment who are looking to change sides. If Turkey did make that move, that could cause major problems. So I think overall, it's good for peace and it's good for the economy, because a major war would be very, very bad news for the global economy. We've already seen what the implications are from what's happening in Ukraine, and that's a relatively small area. If we had a much wider offensive going on, then it would be absolute chaos in the global economy. We would be looking at major downfalls in all of the markets, and nobody wants that. So hopefully that gives you a bit more perspective as to why this deal that's been agreed now is overall good news, because I think it's bringing Turkey back into the NATO fold, repositioning themselves back in that alliance, and hopefully that's good news for global peace. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and events like this that I come across. If you've liked what I've said today, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.